Good morning again, and we're very thankful to have you stay tuned in with us here, the Gospel of Grace. This morning we'd like to turn to John chapter 6, and we're trying to study together the I am statements of Jesus Christ, particularly in the Gospel of John. And previously we showed for you that Jesus Christ, when he says I am, every time he makes that statement, he is reaffirming his identity. He's reaffirming his divinity and connecting himself all the way back to where God says, I am that I am, is the name that Moses would present to the Egyptians. That's the name that God takes for himself, the I am that I am. So every time Jesus says, I am, he's reaffirming his divinity. He's reaffirming that he is the I am that I am. And then also he's giving us a specific aspect of his identity and a specific aspect of his character and his essence in these I am statements that we find, particularly in the Gospel of John. And later on, we will consider some others in the book of Revelation as well that I think are very instructive for us to study together. So every time he makes these I am statements, I want to remind you again, he's essentially saying, I am that I am, every time that he says this, again, affirming his divinity. So here in John chapter 6, Jesus says this a few different times and alludes back to this. A good bit going on here in the context of John chapter 6, but we're just going to jump in here to the narrative where Jesus makes this I am statement here, particularly in verse 35. He's telling them about the bread and the bread that came down from heaven previously, speaking of the manna that was figurative of him. And then his disciples said, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And then he continues on with some beautiful exhortations. We'd love to spend time in verses 37 to 40, but for time's sake, we'll omit that. But after that, after he gives this further exposition, the Jews then murmured at him, saying, he said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. They said, I'm the bread of life. But then he comes back around to it yet again and makes the same statement in John 6 and 48. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So Jesus specifically says, I am the bread of life. And here in context of John 6, he's specifically connecting that to manna. The bread from heaven is manna in the Old Testament. So obviously, as we think about our daily provision, as we think about our daily bread, we stay alive by eating and drinking. Jesus says other places, I am the fountain of living waters. I am your drink, and I am going to provide for your thirst. We're told in John 6, that blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So Jesus is the fountain of living water that wells up inside of God's children, that nourishes them and refreshes them. And also, Jesus is the bread of life. So we maintain our spiritual life, our spiritual health, by partaking of Jesus, right? By drinking of the living water, by drinking of the fountain of living water, by drinking the blessed nourishment of the fountain of living water, but also partaking of the bread of life. Now think about manna in the Old Testament, right? The Israelites were out in the middle of the wilderness. They didn't bring any food with them. And what did God do? They were discouraged. They were hungry. What did God do? For 40 years, he gave them manna from heaven 6 days a week. And then the sixth day, they gathered up double of the manna, so they would not have to go and gather up manna on the Sabbath day. If they tried to gather any extra, that would spoil on every other day except for the sixth day, where they were required to gather double for the next day. But that bread from heaven, God provided that manna to provide the physical nourishment that his children needed, even though they had no ability to provide that for themselves. And that's what he's saying for us in a spiritual sense. Jesus Christ is our spiritual nourishment, and he's the only thing that will satisfy. You know, so many of God's children seem to want to partake of the sugar of the world and you know, just the junk food of the world. What we need to be partaking of, what we need to be living on, is the bread of life, the bread from heaven. It's the manna of Jesus Christ. It's the manna of Jesus as the bread of life. And he, when we partake of Jesus, that's what refreshes and strengthens our spiritual health. It strengthens our spiritual nourishment. He says, I am that living bread that came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Now, that doesn't mean if you believe on Jesus or by you partaking of Jesus, that's not how you gain eternal life. But what he's saying is, just as the language of the fountain of living water, that it's going to spring out of you. Here, let's get that language right. In John 4, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, that doesn't mean that by believing on Jesus and by drinking of that water, so to say, that's how you gain eternal life, but that well of water springs up into eternal life. And that's how we have that spiritual nourishment of our thirst, and the living bread and that we partake of Jesus Christ is how we have spiritual nourishment of our food. Yeah, and we're also told in the Word of God that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, Jesus Christ takes the title for himself in John chapter 1, that he's the Word. He's the capital W Word. And Jesus Christ, along with all three persons of the Trinity, inspired and moved upon men for the Word of God to be given. So when he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, we live by the partaking, our spiritual life. The way that we're going to partake of the fullness of the abundant life is that we are laying hold and partaking on the nourishment of the food of God's Word. And that is what our spiritual life, our abundant life, is sustained by. It's not sustained by the world. It's sustained by the Word of God. You know, you have this description in Revelation chapter 10 about this little book that the angel gives to John, and he describes it here. Revelation 10, verse 9, I went to the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said, take and eat it up. It shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took up the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was sweet to my mouth, but as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. Now, what's that describing? You know, the Word of God that we live by, we live by obedience to the Word of God. Man shall not live solely by physical food, and from time to time we may give up physical food by way of fasting to focus on prayer and to focus on growing closer to the Lord. So there are times where we might make decisions to give up physical food. Man shall not live by bread alone, but what do we live by? What's our spiritual life nourished by? But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, where did God pen his words that proceeded out of his mouth? He penned them in the 66 books of the divinely inspired and preserved Word of God, the best version of that in the English language, in the King James Version of the Bible. And when you read the Bible, I think this is a very appropriate description. When you read the Word of God, many times it's bitter to my belly, but it's also sweet to my mouth. You know, the Word of God convicts you. It rebukes you. It shows you your shortcomings. It shows you that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and it shows you that you're making mistakes in this area, and I need to repent of this, and I need to do better, and I need to get back on the saddle. That's what makes your belly bitter. Oh, but at the same time, it makes your belly bitter. It also is sweet to the taste. Of sweet as honey. And if I'm remembering correctly, I think the description of manna in the Old Testament, it's called angel's food, and I think it was a wafer that tasted a lot like honey. And that's a description there in Revelation 10 of the Word of God. The Word of God we live by. We don't live solely by bread. We live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We live by the Word of God, the Bible that God has given us, and it makes our belly bitter many times by way of conviction. It shows us that the areas of our besetting sins that we need to be rebuked and corrected and instructed in righteousness. But also, boy, didn't it tell us the good news of the gospel, right? Yes, it convicts you that you are a sinner and you needed to repent of those things. But also, as you're reminded that you are a sinner and it's making your belly bitter, also you have the sweet honey of salvation by grace alone and the sweet old gospel story that sweetly cheers as years go by, right? So it convicts you, the Word of God that we live by, it convicts us, it makes our belly bitter, but at the same time, it is sweet as honey to our mouth, and it nourishes us and gives us strength for the day. And that's what manna did, right? Manna gave them food to eat for that day, and guess what? They had to rely on the sustenance and the provision of the Lord for the next day's provision. And regardless of how well planned out we think our life is, regardless of how well planned out we think our meals are, things can change drastically in a moment. And what we really need is not solely food. We need to take care of our health to the best of our ability, right? But every single day, we have to rely on Jesus Christ as our bread of life, as our manna from heaven, as our living bread that came down from heaven to meet our spiritual needs and meet our spiritual nourishment. So we eat of Jesus Christ not to gain eternal life, but to feel the power of that eternal life welling up inside of us. To have strength for the journey to come, to have strength for what God has called us to do today. And that was the state of the Israelites in the Old Testament. They had to rely upon God every day by way of physical food to give them what they needed to meet the task at hand, to meet the challenges of the day. And every single day we rely upon Jesus Christ to give us the nourishment and the strength and the help and the grace and everything we stand in need of to meet the challenges of today. And then when we lay our head down at night and we say, thank you, Lord, for being so good to me and giving me exactly what I needed. Thank you for being my living bread. Thank you for being my bread of life. Thank you for providing everything that I needed spiritually today, even though my belly was a little bitter. Even though my belly was a little bitter, it was still sweet as honey to my mouth. Even though that was the case, I have to rely upon you tomorrow as well, right? I have to rely upon you to provide for my sustenance, to provide for my needs today. And Jesus said, as we've already noted in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. And what are you going to be filled with? You're going to be filled with Jesus, right? You know, what's the fullness of the abundant life? The fullness of the abundant life is more Jesus. It's a higher fellowship and communion and feeling the immediate, powerful presence of Jesus Christ on a daily basis. And how do you do that? You do it by drinking from the fountain of living water. You do it by eating the bread of life. You do it by partaking of the living bread that came down from heaven. You do it by living based on the words that proceed out of the mouth of God, because Jesus Christ is that bread of life. And then obviously we think about the communion table. We think about the Lord's Supper, and they used unleavened bread that makes us think about Jesus Christ, and leaven is used many times in the Bible to be connected to sin. Jesus unleavened. He was without sin, and he's the unleavened bread that partake of that. So when we partake of the communion service, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are, our minds are being turned. We do that in remembrance of Jesus Christ. We do that in remembrance of his sacrifice on our behalf, and that turns our mind, right? The communion service is for a remembrance, to turn our mind that Jesus Christ was that unleavened bread. He was the bread that was broken for us. His unleavened bread, which is the picture of his body, his unleavened body was broken for us. Oh, love beyond human expression, compassion so boundless and free. Jesus proved his great wealth of affection when his body was broken for me. When his body was broken for me. When his unleavened body was broken on my behalf. And we partake of the Lord's Supper to turn our spiritual minds toward that. And as we partake of that physical unleavened bread, we hope that we are pointing our minds toward Jesus, where we're at the same time partaking of the spiritual living bread of Jesus Christ, as we're turning our minds toward his sacrifice in the communion service. So, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We live by the word of God. We live by Jesus Christ and his strength and his nourishment and his encouragement and his grace. And we want to lay hold on that bread, right? We want to partake. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. Partake of Jesus Christ as the unleavened bread that was broken on our behalf. And if you do that, you will receive such amazing, joyful, spiritual nourishment. And it will, there might be some times that we might have our bellies a little bitter, but I will tell you, the sweet taste of Jesus Christ is always honey to our mouth. Praise the Lord. But God is just so good to us, and that he provides for our needs, and that he loves us so much to send his only begotten Son to die for us, and not just to die for us to pray for our eternal provisions, but to do everything that is necessary to provide for our daily nourishment and our spiritual provisions as we serve him as the best of our ability here in the kingdom of God. May God richly bless you on this Lord's Day.